If you are a great musician or love music, then when someone who comes into town, who's one of your favorite artists or one of your favorite musicians come, you want to go hear them. You flock to go hear them. If you are an athlete, and there are certain athletes that you love and think are fantastic, then you are going to be someone, if they come to town, you're going to follow that athlete. Last week, as St. Louis hosted the PGA, the biggest crowds followed Tiger Woods. They noticed and recognized it. You could hear it when he teed off or when he putted. You could hear it because people love him as an athlete. When you are part of a political party and someone from the national political party comes to your town, not only does it jam up a lot of traffic, but it has the tendency to draw a lot of people, be it Republican, Democrat, whatever. Those people come and hear that because they are interested in the politician and what he has to say. But let me ask you this. What kind of crowds followed Jesus? If we look at the kind of crowds that follow Jesus, we find people with leprosy and people who are lame and people who are sick and people who are hurting and people who are sinful and know that they are sinful. Those are the kind of people that followed Jesus. But why did they follow him? They followed him because Jesus can. Jesus can change lives. No matter what circumstance they knew they were facing in their life, they knew that if they could get an audience with Jesus, that their life could quite possibly be changed forever. They were interested in seeing Jesus because Jesus can. Take your Bibles this morning and we're going to see how Jesus can and how he can demonstrate power amid the problems and difficulties of our life. Now, let me just tell you that every miracle in the Bible was always preceded by a problem, by a difficulty, by a challenge. And we believe that no matter what you're facing in your life, Jesus can see you through. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to pick up in verse number 1. And we're going to think this morning on how Jesus can demonstrate his power. Matthew 8, beginning with verse number 1. When he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. There's the multitudes. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's a theme of our series. Lord, if you're willing, you can. Jesus can. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom in heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. And with that, let's pray. God, speak to us today. And Lord, for the one who's facing challenges or transitions or difficulties, God, I pray that you would just reveal yourself. And Jesus, that you would show yourself as the Jesus who can. Lord, all of us have things going on in our life. And so I just pray that you'd meet us at the point of our need today. And God, that we would have faith that would honor you. In your name, amen. In Matthew chapter 8 and 9, what we find is Matthew, as he has just recorded the preaching of Jesus in Matthew 5 through 7, now is going to begin to record a series of miracles. He records three miracles, and then there's a section on discipleship. He's going to record three to four more miracles and have another section and then do it again. What we find is that Matthew is driving home the person of Jesus and the power of Jesus through miracles. And we see this leper who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can. And so the emphasis that Matthew is driving home is that Jesus is able to take care of the challenges and difficulties that we face in our life. But let's think about miracles for a minute. Why did Jesus do miracles, and why is that important today? I think there's three reasons that Jesus did miracles in the New Testament, and I think that he can show those miracles today as well, and there are people who've experienced miracles in their life as well, but I think out of three particular reasons. First off, Jesus did miracles out of compassion. First, there's the area of compassion. As Jesus was looking, as we looked last week in Matthew 9, 35, 36, 37. It says that Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Jesus had a loving care and concern for people who were facing challenges and issues in their life. And I will tell you that no matter what you're going through today, he cares for you. And he desires to show his loving concern in your life, no matter what kind of issues and challenges you are facing. So first, out of compassion. Secondly, I think there's the area of validation. And that is that Jesus was showing himself to be God in the flesh. He was showing himself to be the all-powerful one. So that in Matthew 8 and 9, we see Jesus and his power to heal, but we also see Jesus exert his authority over nature as he causes the waves to quit rolling and the wind to quit howling. He shows his great power over the supernatural as he cast demons out of someone. He shows his great power even over death, as we see in Matthew chapter 9, as Jesus, or 8 and 9, as Jesus brings one back from the dead. Jesus is showing he is who he says he is. But then there's a third reason I think Jesus did miracles, and that was for the sake of salvation. That miracles on the external were used so that Jesus could change the inner man. That out of the validation aspect of showing that he is the Son of God, that Jesus was touching someone on the outside, showing that he could truly make a difference on the inside. So that as you look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 and following, we find a paralytic who is unable to walk, and he's carried in and lowered in before Jesus. And Jesus, the first thing that he says to him is, Son, your sins are forgiven. He wants to take care of the spiritual man first because that's what's eternal. And then he tells the man, sit up, take up your mat and walk. But that is after he's already done the work of salvation. Now, Jesus does not do miracles just to gain an audience. He's not looking for a great crowd. Matter of fact, after the leper is healed in verse number 4, he doesn't say, go out and let everybody know so that they'll flock to me and all these crowds will get around me. No, he says, go show yourself to the priest. And the book of Leviticus had certain rituals that they had to go through after being healed of leprosy. Jesus is not looking for a crowd and he's not looking for popularity. He is showing that he is loving. He is validating the truth that he is God's son and he is showing the way of salvation. That's why Jesus was about the miracles that he did. And that's why the Lord Jesus moves in our life today as well, showing compassion, confirming his Godhead and his Godship in our life, and then moving in us, in our hearts, so that we'll experience salvation. That's why Jesus did miracles. But we notice these miracles in particular. That Jesus heals a leper, he touches a centurion's servant, and then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Each of them very unique. And so I want us to look at these miracles, and I want us to think about three aspects of this. First off, I want us to think about the power of Jesus' touch. The power of Jesus' touch. As the leper is there, he comes to the Lord, and it says that he comes worshiping. So that Jesus then sees this man who's worshiping, and he hears him say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And then it says, and Jesus touched him. Now, Jesus touched the leper. So look with me in verse number 2. It says, "Behold, the leper came, and he said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus put out his hand and touched him." Now, you have to understand something about leprosy in the Bible times. Leprosy was not only pictured as a physical disease, but was really, in truth, often people saw this as a spiritual curse. And it would cause one to be a social outcast. When someone with leprosy would come along, and leprosy would be a disease that would attack the nerve endings, and often your fingers, your toes would fall off, maybe parts of the cartilage of your nose, and it would begin to deteriorate and have great horrific effects. But anytime someone with leprosy would come through, no one could come within 6 feet of them, and they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." So that as Jesus has this man approach him and he comes worshiping, he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus touching this man would have broke all of the social, spiritual boundaries of that day. But Jesus reached out with great compassion. And can you imagine even the last time that this man had been touched? There's power in a human touch. Shaking a hand, experiencing a hug. For years, this man was not only spiritually felt like he was cursed, but a social outcast. And Jesus reaches out his hand, and maybe he put his hand on his shoulder. Maybe he put his arm around him, but Jesus touched this man. And when he touched him, he was well. Notice how the guy came. He came worshiping, understanding and recognizing who Jesus is. But he came with an understanding, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, if you're willing." You know, in February of 2013, I preached a message called "When Your Miracle Doesn't Come." Sometimes we pray for people and we pray for situations and we don't experience the miracle that we wished that we had. Notice how this guy came. He did not come and say, "God, you've got to do this," or "Jesus, you've got to do this. I'm putting this, I'm putting your arm behind your back, and you have to ask, and or you have to do this for me because I have faith." No, he didn't come that way. See, there's a lady named Fanny Crosby. She wrote 8,000 hymns, many of the songs that you grew up singing in church. At 6 weeks, she went blind. And I wonder, could it be that God in his absolute strength showed himself strong in her weakness? Would she have composed 8,000 hymns? Would she have been the spiritual leader and giant, and we still sing her songs today, had she not gone blind? See, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "I have a thorn in the flesh." We don't know exactly what that was, but he says that he prayed 3 times for it to be removed. And the Lord says this, "Paul, I'm not taking it away. It is in your weakness that I will show myself strong." And it could be that sometimes we don't get that miracle, but sometimes to the glory of God, God wants to lead us through a challenge. He wants to take us down through a valley. He wants to carry us over the mountain. He wants us to walk through the trial so that he can get the honor and glory. Here, the power of Jesus' touch is that he touched the leper. But not only do we find that he touched the leper in this passage, notice down in verse number 14 and 15, he comes into the house with Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law has a fever, and so Jesus reaches out and touches her. Now again, for the law of that day, for the Pharisees and especially those religious leaders of that day, to touch someone with a fever was to touch someone who would have been tainted, impure. And yet Jesus reaches down and touches her. And notice Peter's mother-in-law response after Jesus touched. It says that she got up and served them. I think this is worthy of a stop and a pause for a minute. Some of you are young and you've not faced a lot of physical conditions and maladies or disease or sickness, but I can tell you, your day will come. And those of us who are a little bit older know that our bodies, things begin to happen. But why is it that we want to be well? Why is it? Well, most of us don't want to be sick because being sick is inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. Being sick can cost us money. It can cost us money to pay. We might lose money at our work. See, being sick is uncomfortable and it's inconvenient and it's costly. And sometimes we pray, God, just make me better. I want to get out and do the things that I want to do and I want to live the life that I want to live. But notice when she was made well, she began to serve. How many of us go into sickness and think, Lord, I want you to bring me through this or I want you to heal me so that I can serve like I want to serve? That I can be involved in ministry like you want me to be involved in ministry. God, touch my body, not just for the sake of finances or for the sake of I don't feel good and I'm uncomfortable, but God, touch my body so that I can be used to make a difference in the lives of others. So that, God, I can serve the way that you want me to serve. That I can go the way you want me to go. That I can speak to others the way you want me to speak. So that I can give the way you want me to give. Peter's mother-in-law shows us that by Jesus touching her, she gets back about the business that God's called all of us to, and that's to serve. So we find the power of Jesus' touch. In between these two miracles of the leper who was touched by Jesus and Peter's mother-in-law who was touched by Jesus, we see another miracle come. And in this miracle, we see the power of Jesus' reach. We see the power of Jesus' reach. We just read it. A centurion comes to Jesus, and this would have been a Gentile. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I've got a servant, and he's paralyzed, and he's tormented. And Lord, I want you to heal him. And then Jesus says, okay, I'll come with you. You can take me. And then he says this, Lord, I'm a man under authority. I understand what authority is. And I know that you have authority over that sickness over there. So, just like me as a commander, I can say to this one, go and he goes, or come and he comes, or do this and he does it. You can say to that sickness, Lord, you can say to that sickness, be healed, and he can be healed. This shows the power of Jesus' touch, but that Jesus is not limited and Jesus can reach over geographical distance. Jesus has power. There is no distance, there's no geographical distance that can pause or halt him or hinder him in his work. The centurion servant says, Lord, you don't even have to go. Just say the word, Lord, and he will be better. Do you know what that centurion servant is saying? Or the centurion saying, Lord, you have the power because you're God. You have all authority. You have power over sickness and disease, and having all authority, you can say to that sickness over there, be healed, and he will be healed. Jesus has power and can reach over geographic distance. So that as we gather today and we come and worship, and we can remember folks in our church like Darlene Large, who's in India today. And we can pray for her and know that the Lord can reach over geographic distance and have his hand on her and sustain her and give her wisdom and give her strength and perseverance today. And we can pray for the Fords in Spain today. And we can pray for James Euler as he's ministering in Venezuela and Colombia. And we can pray for Glenda in Taiwan and for Jean in Western Europe. And we can pray for Dan and Kelly Butts in Hungary. And as we pour out our hearts for these at different parts of the world, we know that there's no geographic distance that's going to be a hindrance to the Lord. He has all authority. Matthew 28 says all authority is in Christ's hands, and it reminds us of that, that he is authority over geographic distance. So that some of you are, as you're here today, you may have a child who is hundreds of miles away, and your prayers can be moved and move the hand of Jesus to touch them wherever they are. That's his power over geographic distance. But not only can he reach over geographic distance, but he can reach over human barriers. I want you to notice something with me in these miracles. Jesus heals one with leprosy, social outcast, untouchable, undesirable. Jesus heals a Gentile's servant. The Jews would have said, man, the Messiah is coming just for the Jews. This is all about the Jewish people. And yet the Lord would reach over the barrier and touch a Gentile. And then he touched Peter's mother-in-law. You have to understand the Pharisees of this day. The Pharisees were the religious leaders, and their common prayer was, Lord, thank you that I am a Jew, not a Gentile, a man, not a woman, and free and not a slave. This would have been a regular morning prayer for a religious leader, Pharisee, who says, Lord, thank you, I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. I'm a man and not a woman. I'm a free and not a slave. Why? Because these people were not looked upon with great esteem in society. A leper would have been looked at someone who was totally out of the realm of even being considered to be blessed. A Gentile? They're like dogs. No, we don't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. Jesus came for the Jewish people. A woman, she would have held very little esteem in that first century. And yet Matthew records the great miracles, the early miracles of Jesus to reach over human barriers to touch a leper, a Gentile, and a woman. How easy it is for us to put up barriers. I was prayer walking this week, and as I was prayer walking and walked past a house that there's an Indian family that lives there. And I passed another house, and there's an African-American family that lives there, and the boys were out playing in the front yard and in the street riding a skateboard. And then I passed a Hispanic family, and I passed obviously an Asian family. And as I was prayer walking and walking these streets this week, I thought about the song that we learned when we were little kids. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And I thought about how easy it is for us to set up human barriers because of race, because of socioeconomics, because of strata of society, because of influence or power or popularity that someone may have. And the Lord Jesus breaks down all the human barriers. So listen, the joy is no matter where you are today and no matter what's going on in your life today, Jesus will reach out with you with great compassion and great love. And no matter what your background is, no matter what tribe or nation or race or group of people that you come from, no matter how rich or how poor you are, no matter how popular or unpopular you are, no matter how talented or untalented that you feel, the Lord has great compassion for you and will reach out and touch you. That's the power of Jesus' reach. There are no untouchables and there are no unreachables. What a challenge for us. Can I just lay this out as you walk and as you share a prayer card or as you pass people every day, that to look and be moved with compassion like Jesus and not to see human barriers. the power of Jesus' touch, the power of Jesus' reach. But thirdly, we see the power of Jesus' words, the power of Jesus' words. I want us to think about the power of Jesus' words as Jesus is speaking with the centurion. As he's speaking with the centurion, he says something very interesting. The centurion says, hey, I've got a sick, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented servant. And Jesus says, I'll come to him and heal him in verse number 7. And then he says, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy. You just say, go, come. You have all authority. And then Jesus in verse number 10, Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's Jesus talking about in the power of his words? Well, there were those in that day, Jesus' day, as he's talking, especially the Jewish people, those are the sons of the kingdom that he's talking about. And they thought because we're Jewish, we're automatically in the kingdom. We're automatically qualified. We're automatically going to heaven. But Jesus says, look, I see this great faith in a Gentile. And just like this Gentile, there are going to be people who come from the east and the west, Gentiles from all over the world that are going to come. And they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're going to heaven. They've got it. They understand it. But the sons of the kingdom, some of those within the Jewish realm, they're going to be cast out into outer darkness. Why? Because Jesus makes it very clear that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is through Jesus. So as we think about salvation and how to get to heaven, listen, the Jewish leaders relied on the fact that they were religious, that they had a national heritage, that they were part of this group of folks, so they were automatically going to make it to heaven no matter how they lived, no matter what they thought, no matter what kind of faith they had, they were automatically in. And I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to who've said things like this. Well, you know, my grandpa's a preacher. My dad's a deacon. We grew up in a Baptist church. We went to a Christian church. We were even, you know, listen, can I tell you, it doesn't make any difference what your religious pedigree is. It doesn't make any difference how religious, and if your grandpa was a preacher or your daddy was a deacon or your brother leads the music somewhere, it doesn't make any difference. It comes to a personal relationship that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. You don't get to heaven holding the coattails of your family service and your family denomination and your family's salvation. I want to tell you today, no matter who you are, we've just said Jesus will reach over any barrier and he can impact your life. But if you think you're going to go to heaven just because you're religious, you are going to miss it. You're going to miss it. That's not how it happens. Jesus looks at this guy who says, look, Lord, you have all authority. And I know, I believe that you're the Son of God. That's what he's saying by saying, look, you have authority over all this stuff. And then Jesus says this. Notice what he says to him in verse number 10. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. How are we saved? Through Jesus Christ, and we are saved by faith. We're saved by faith. This man believed who Jesus was and trusted in what Jesus would do. He was saved by faith. He believed. And that's how we get to heaven. John chapter 1, verse number 11 says that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people rejected him. But, he says in verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. They have the right. Why? Because they have had faith and they have trusted in who Jesus is and what he has done. So the power of Jesus, as we think about the power of his words, he's saying salvation is through me. Salvation is by faith. And then thirdly, he tells us and makes it very clear, salvation is for all. It's for all. You know what he says? There are going to be people who come from the east and the West, they're going to be Gentiles who come way outside of the Jewish realm. And they're going to come, these other places and parts of the world from other nations and of different races and socioeconomic status. And as they come, they're going to be the ones who sit with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they make it into the kingdom because of faith through Jesus alone. Very clear. So that brings us to a question. Some of you may have church memberships that are all over the board from all different denominations and all different churches. But I want to ask you this question. Have you experienced salvation through Jesus Christ as the way to get to heaven? Because that's what he's driving home here. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He makes it very clear, but he makes it very exclusive that we get to heaven through Jesus alone. And he says, "I will accept all, but they have to come by faith in me alone." Our world doesn't necessarily like that message today. And I will tell you, the problem is not with me. The problem is here. What God has laid out for us through the person of Jesus, that he is not a way, he's not a good way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't know for certain today about your relationship with Jesus, here's the problem that all of us have. The problem is that at some time in your life, every one of us have thought something or said something or done something that has displeased God. Every one of us. And because God is a perfect God and a holy God, he cannot allow us to enter into his presence and go to heaven on our own merit. We cannot get to heaven on our own. So instead of God punishing us for the things that we did wrong, the Bible says that God stepped into humanity in the person of Jesus, and he lived a perfect life, never doing anything wrong. And he died on the cross to take the penalty for our sin. And through his death, and through his resurrection, he offers us the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And it's for all. Have you received that gift today? Have you ever had a holiday at your house where everybody opens the presents and it's about time to go? And someone remembers a present that they left hidden somewhere or in the back room, or, and they, "Oh, we forgot to give you this." What's even worse would be to have the gift right in front of you and to not receive it. And that gift today is forgiveness, eternal life in heaven with him forever. And there's only one alternative that Jesus makes very clear. It's being cast into outer darkness where there is weeping, mournful cries, and gnashing of teeth out of great excruciating pain and out of malice of not being able to do anything about it. There's a wonderful gift. Have you received it? Do you know that you know Jesus?